Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever needed something to happen, and it seemed like something that only God could do? Have you ever needed God to do something, but it seemed like God wasn't doing anything? Today, I want to show you through the Bible that sometimes God won't act until you've acted. God hasn't acted because you haven't acted. And the way for you to see God do something amazing is for you to do something. The way for you to see God do what you could never do is for you to do what you can do. We're in this series called Back to the Future, in which we're talking about how do we get past our past and move into the future that we want for ourselves and God has for us. And, you know, part of making our future happen is getting God involved in our lives, like getting God to be actively involved in our lives so that he's doing the things in our lives that only he could do in our lives. And today we're going to see that there's something you can do that will help and enable God to do what only God can do. We're going to look at a story in the Bible, and it's in a book called 2 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 3. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible with you, no problem. We put the verses on the screen. You can follow along up there. If you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible at home, we would love to give you one today as a free gift. We've got Bibles back at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting Velcro Bar place. And so, yeah. So here's the situation in the story we're going to look at. There is this evil nation called Moab. And Moab has decided to just start like aggressively attacking other countries for no reason, just coming in, declaring war, and attacking them, okay? There's these three other nations called Judah, Israel, and Edom. And at this point in history, all of the people pretty much who love God, have faith in God, worship God, they all live in these three nations of Israel, Judah, and Edom. And now these three nations are in danger because evil Moab is just going around and attacking people. So these three nations decide to put aside their differences, come together, and fight against Moab so that they can save their people and save their countries, all right? And so that's where we find them. They kind of call all of their men of age, fighting age, together, and they say, we need to do this, and they start marching towards war with Moab. So we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 9. It says, so the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. What? Exclaimed the king of Israel. Do you like that? What? You like that inflection I put in that? What? What? Exclaimed the king of Israel. Has the Lord called us three kings together only to deliver us into the hands of Moab? But Jehoshaphat, he's one of the other kings, asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. And that's confusing me. Elijah was an old prophet. A prophet is kind of like a pastor or priest, kind of. And so Elijah was his apprentice. Elisha was the apprentice of Elijah. All right? Verse 12. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Okay, so they had expected that together they're going to win this battle against evil Moab, but they now encounter a situation they had not counted on. They have no water. They have no water for their men. They have no water for their horses, and they're in trouble. And so they decide to call in Elisha, who was, again, kind of like a pastor, a priest, kind of, and to see what he has to say about what God might have to say to them. Verse 13. Elisha said to the king of Israel, why do you want to involve me? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab. So Elisha kind of cops an attitude with them. And the reason is because these were the people who were supposed to be following God, but the reality is for quite a long time they hadn't been. They had been more interested in other gods and other religions from other nations. And so he's kind of like, really, are you sure you want me? Because it seems like you're a lot more interested in the prophets of other gods and other nations. And the king of Israel is like, no, it's your God who brought us out here. And apparently he brought us out here to die. Isn't it funny how God rarely gets credit from people, but often gets blame, right? It's true, right? Why did God move us out here to Vegas, and now I've got no job? Why did God do this? Or why did God put me in this relationship only to get hurt? I don't understand why God would do that. God doesn't get a lot of credit from people, but he does get a lot of blame. All right, so let's keep reading the next couple of verses. Verse 14 says, Elisha said, As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not pay any attention to you. But now bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elisha. Let's pause there for a minute, because maybe this whole bring me a harpist thing is kind of weird, right? It's kind of confusing. But there are actually a couple times in the Bible where someone needs to pray. They need to like really seek God and find out what God is saying, and they bring in a musician to play some music while they're praying. Which in one sense, maybe that sounds weird, but in another sense, I bet a lot of us can kind of understand that. Maybe because there's something about music that's, no, it's inspiring. It kind of creates a moment for you, right? Like, I've actually been thinking about this for a while, and what I've realized is you can say almost anything, and if you have the right music playing, it actually sounds pretty awesome. It really does. So for instance, check this out. Ready? Today, my beloved Oakland Raiders will be playing against the San Diego Chargers. The Raiders' motto is just win, baby. Last year, the Raiders won 3 games and lost 13. The year before that, they won 4 games and lost 12. The year before that, they also won 4 games and lost 12. But today, the Raiders will be victorious. They will run faster. They will hit harder. Today, the silver and black will indeed just win, baby. Sounds pretty good. Like you want to root for the Raiders today, I think, right? Just from that, it's pretty good. But the truth is, you can say anything. Like, so ready? Check this out. Ready? Here we go. Diarrhea. Diarrhea. Diarrhea everywhere. Am I doomed to live in this bathroom forever? That was pretty moving, right? Maybe not. But the truth is, music kind of creates a moment, right? It kind of like helps you to feel inspired. And so, you know, when you come here on a Sunday and we've got this awesome band and there's this music and maybe you sing, and it can really help you to feel connected to God and inspired to live for him and do whatever he says. And we're going to get back to this story in a minute. But before we do, I want to ask you a question. I've actually got 3 questions I want to ask you today. Here's the first one. Can you be faithful when the music stops? Can you be faithful when the music stops? See, the test isn't, do you get inspired when you're here? It's pretty easy to get inspired when you're here. The songs are playing and you know, hearing a message, and a lot of times there's really encouraging things, something you feel like, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear. It's not hard to get inspired to hear. The question is, can you be faithful when the music stops? Because the truth is, there's not always music, right? You know, there's not always like a sermon telling you what to do in that moment, inspiring you to do it. That kind of inspiration in real life is often lacking. Wouldn't it be great though? Like, wouldn't it be great if it was never lacking, if there was always that kind of moment, always that kind of inspiration, right? And so like, let's say you're at home, and it's kind of late, and you want to just go to bed, but there's a stack of dishes that you need to do, and you just do not feel like doing it, but then the music kicks in. And I walk into your kitchen, and I say, scrub those dishes. You know you want to, You really do. And if you scrub those dishes, you are going to see your amazing reflection in that plate. And has anyone told you, say, you look good. You look really good. So scrub those dishes and see your reflection. And as you do, you will honor God as you do that work. So get to scrubbing. But you do those dishes, right? If you had that kind of inspiration. Or let's say one day you're at your job and you hate your job, kind of like Arnie Stanky was talking about earlier, right? And you're just sitting there. You can't even barely keep your eyes open. You got to do this work and you don't want to do it. But then the music starts playing. And I come walking into your office and I say, I know you're bored. I know that you're tired. But you don't want to quit this job. You really don't. In fact, I think that somewhere deep inside, you're starting to feel a new enthusiasm, right? There is a wind starting to billow under your wings and carrying you to a higher level of work effectiveness. You are now ready to do whatever you need to do. And so, fill out that expense report. You know you want to. Fill out that expense report. You can do it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe that wouldn't be awesome. Maybe that would just be weird. I don't know. I don't know if that would be awesome or weird. But, like, we can't follow you around. Thanks, Mike. But for real, you know, you come here and there's music and everything else and you get inspired. But then you leave and the music stops. And the question is, can you be faithful when the music stops? Can you do the right thing when you don't feel like doing the right thing? Right? Can you do what you need to do? Can you do what God wants you to do when there's no music and there's no inspiration? And that's a true test of who you are. Right? That's what reveals who you really are. First question, can you be faithful when the music stops? Let's get back to the story. Starting again in verse 15, we'll look at it and then we'll keep going. So Elisha says, but now bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, luckily they had a harpist in their army that day. They brought a harpist with them. I'm playing the harp here. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elisha. And he said, this is what the Lord says. I will fill this valley with pools of water. For this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also deliver Moab into your hands. So God tells them that he's going to fill pools with water. In the old King James version of the Bible, so the Bible's been translated into English several times, and in the old King James version, here's how it says it. It says, God says, make this valley full of ditches. So God's like, make this valley full of ditches and I will fill those ditches with water. Those ditches will become pools of water. That is not what they wanted to hear. I mean, they needed water, but they didn't want to have to work for it, right? I mean, God does miracles, so why did they have to do anything? Really, it didn't make sense. God was telling them to dig ditches and he would fill those ditches with water, but if he could fill those ditches with water, couldn't he also dig the ditches, right? Couldn't he just do all of it? But no, Elisha says, God wants you to dig the ditches throughout the valley. And listen, they didn't have a backhoe, right? There wasn't like a Home Depot or a Lowe's to go buy some shovels. They didn't have shovels. They were not on their way to a farm. They were on their way to war. They don't have anything to dig ditches with, but God says, dig ditches to prepare yourself for the miracle that I am going to do. Remember also, they're tired, right? They're exhausted. They're dehydrated. That's why they called Elisha in the first place, is because there's no water for any of the men, for any of the horses, right? And so you've got this army of dehydrated, exhausted, unequipped soldiers, and Elisha tells them, God wants you to dig ditches and make this whole valley full of ditches that he can fill with water. What Elisha is teaching them in this moment is something that you and I totally have to learn. And here it is. Before God can do something easy for him, sometimes you have to do something that's hard for you. Before God can do something easy for him, sometimes you have to do something that's hard for you. Now, I realize that probably just sounds wrong, right? It seems like, I mean, God is God. God can do anything he wants. Why does he need me to do something? Well, the truth is God can do whatever he wants, but he's decided to do certain things if and only if, when and only when, we do certain things. We see that all throughout the Bible. A couple of examples. So like in the Bible, God says that he will save us, that he will forgive all of our sins if and when we put our faith in his son Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, God promises to give us his Holy Spirit, which means his presence comes inside of us, lives inside of us to empower us to live for him. And he'll do that, he says, if and when we repent and are baptized. See, God can do whatever he wants, but he's decided to do certain things if and only if we do certain things. And that's question number two. Here's question number two. Will you do your hard work before God does his easy work? Will you do your hard work before God does his easy work? There is nothing difficult for God. Okay? Nothing is impossible for God. But will you do your hard work? That's faith. That's what faith really looks like. I mean, the music has stopped, right? You're not feeling inspired. Are you still willing to dig a ditch before you even see a rain cloud? Only God can make it rain, but he wants you to dig a ditch. So will you? Will you do your hard work before God does his easy work? And really, when you start thinking about this and what it is that God's asking us to do, you'll realize it is so cool. Because what God is asking us to do is he's letting us participate in the miracle that we want him to do for us. Like, how cool is that? And instead of God just doing it, God's saying, let's do this together. So we get to participate in the miracle that God is asking or that we're asking God to do for us. And we see God do that all throughout the Bible with lots of people. He does a miracle, but like they serve a part in him doing that miracle. And that's the way he works with us. So, you want more influence. It's really easy for God to give you that. But he's waiting to see more surrender in your life. Will you dig that ditch? You want more money. That's easy for God. But he's waiting for you to show more generosity. You want stronger relationships. God is waiting to see more faithfulness. Before God can do something easy for him, sometimes we have to do something that's hard for us. Now, I want to make sure that you realize this is not a self-help message. It may sound a little bit like one, but it's not at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, self-help message is like, just believe and take action and you'll see miracles happen in your life. That is not this, okay? What's the difference? Self-help is about what I want for me. What we're talking about is what God wants for me. Self-help is where I'm preparing to do something. What we're talking about is me preparing for God to do something, right? So in order for God to do something that's easy for him, he may ask me to do something that's hard for me. And by the way, you may never have realized this before, but that's pretty much the way it works with everyone all the time. We don't realize that because when you look at other people's lives, what you see are results, right? You don't see the hard work that was put in to lead to those results. You don't see that person digging ditches, right? So you look at this person and you maybe even envy them a little bit because this is a person that God has blessed, maybe with a great family or maybe financially or maybe with incredible influence. But what you don't see are the hours and hours and hours of prayer that person put in where they're just asking, God, would you make me the kind of person that you can use? What you don't see is the husband and wife having the conversation at the end of the year where they're saying, hey, I'm thinking that next year we increase our giving from 12% to 15%. What do you think? What you don't see are the hunger pains as this person continues to fast because they're just asking God to do something in their lives that only He can do. You see the results. You don't see the hard work, but it's the hard work that led God to be able to do what He did in their lives and led them into their future, and it's the future that so many of us long for. I'm not saying that it's a formula, because it might sound like that too. It's like, hey, listen, if you do the right things, you can almost kind of like manipulate God into doing what you want Him to do. And so, you do the right things and God has to do. I'm not saying that. It's not about manipulating God. It's about having the right motives, right? We have to start with the right motives. And the right motive is, yeah, something good might come into my life, maybe. But ultimately, what I want is for God to be glorified. Like, that's what I'm after. By the way, it's also not just about receiving good things from God. It's also about getting through the bad things. You know, sometimes we'll see a person who's going through just something incredibly painful, incredibly difficult, and you'll hear someone say something like, you know, I could never go through that the way they did. I mean, the way they went, wow, I could just never do that. And listen, if you haven't been digging ditches, you're probably right. Because maybe that person's been digging ditches and that's the reason they got through it like that. And so they've been digging a ditch of reading their Bible every day, day after day. And so all of a sudden, these storms hit their family, but they've got this wisdom because they've been reading the Bible to navigate through those storms. And you think, I could never have handled it like that. Well, if you haven't been reading your Bible, you're right, you couldn't. Maybe this person, they've been digging this ditch of praying every day for maybe 10, maybe 20 years. And so when all of a sudden they're hit with all this financial stress, they just have this calm, this peace. And they're like, you know what? It's okay because I know the one who owns it all. Or maybe, you know, this person has been digging a ditch for years, always putting God first, and it's not easy, but every decision they're like, what does God want? What would honor God? And so now all of a sudden they find out they can't have a baby. It doesn't make it not painful. It's still painful, but they have this peace, and they're like, you know what? It stinks, but God is all we need. And we see that, and we're like, how does this person get through that? I could never get through it the way they did. And if you haven't been digging ditches, you're right. You're right. You know what's really interesting in this story to me? There's not one sentence in it about how hard it was to dig the ditches. Like there's no mention of how hard. I mean, can you imagine the back-breaking effort it must have taken? Like, they had no equipment. They had nothing to drink. They went an entire night without sleep. They're out in the complete pitch darkness, pitch black darkness. Is there pitch darkness? Is that a thing? Is there pitch darkness? Or you have to say black? Pitch black darkness? Are you guys with me? Can anybody help me with English? Forget it. Can you imagine how hard it was? And there's no mention of that. Here's why. Here's my guess. I think it's because when they look back and they wrote about this, compared to how amazing what God did in the morning was, their efforts that night didn't seem like a big deal at all. It's like, oh, please, that was nothing. Do you remember what God did? They didn't need to talk about how hard it was. And I want to tell you this. If you start digging ditches, if you make this a principle you live your life based on, when God comes through for you and does things in your life that you could never do on your own, and He will, all the hard work will seem totally worth it. It won't even feel like hard work to you. So here's question number three. What ditch do you need to dig? What ditch do you need to dig? Like right now in your life. But what is it that you want from God? And what ditch do you need to dig so God can bless you with that? Like maybe you want a great sex life. Well, then you dig a ditch of purity, right? God says, wait for marriage. Keep your sexual desires reserved for marriage. And what will happen is if you dig that ditch of purity, I will give you a great sex life of passion and fulfillment with your spouse. God will give you that. Maybe you want like control of your finances. You want to have a better financial situation. Well, God says, dig a ditch. God tells us in the Bible to live by a budget, to work to get out of debt, to give generously back to Him. And God makes us a promise in the Bible. He says, you dig that ditch and I will fill it to overflowing. Maybe some of you want to be married, and you keep praying, God, I want to be married. God, I want to be married. God, give me somebody to be. And what God is saying is, dig a ditch. God didn't just answer prayers like that. He asked you to dig a ditch. And so the way you might dig a ditch with this prayer of wanting to get married is you become the kind of person who's the right person to be married to. And so you start really working to practice faithfulness and integrity and humility and service and determination. You dig that ditch so that someday God can give you that person. You can be happily married. First, you need to dig the ditch. Some of you want, maybe you want to be great parents. You're like, I just want to be a great parent. But honestly, like you're so busy, and I can be like this too, on Facebook or pinning stuff on Pinterest. This is me pinning stuff on Pinterest. This was me playing the harp before. I've got all these hand motions if you want to follow along. And what you need to do is you need to just put down your phone. You need to set aside your computer and invest that time in your kid. If you dig that ditch, man, watch how God honors that. Watch what he does. See, if you want something greater in life, if you want more, you don't just ask God for it. You dig a ditch and you ask God for it. You dig a ditch. Now, if you're just okay with what you have, right? If you're like, I'm fine with mediocrity. Like average is totally okay with me. Well, then you don't need to dig a ditch. You don't. But if you want more, if you want something greater, you have to dig a ditch. And if you dig that ditch, God will come through. In fact, let's look at the end of the story. Verse 20 says, the next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom. And the land was filled with water. Listen, they showed up and God showed off. Right? They showed up by doing the hard work all night that they need to do, that God asked them to do. They showed up and God showed off. I mean, God loved his people, right? He wasn't going to let them die. And God loves you. And he knows if right now maybe you're in the desert and you're feeling kind of desperate. And God will send rain. The question is, will you be ready for it? You know, will you have done the things that will allow God to answer your prayer and for you to be able to receive his blessing? God will send rain. Will you have dug a ditch? Will you be ready for it? All right, that's you, right? That's your life. But I want to tell you about a ditch I want to ask you to dig for God here at Verve. I want to talk to you a little bit, just for a few minutes, about Verve moving into our future together. But before I do that, I got to tell you a cool announcement. And it's something we really need your help with. Okay, we need to do this together. Starting on February 14th, we're going to add a third service on Sunday mornings. And so instead of having two, we're going to have three services on Sunday mornings. They're going to be at 9, 10:30, and noon. Okay, starting February 14th, three services, 9, 10:30, and noon. We're doing this because from the very beginning, Verve has always been about being church for people who don't like church, like bringing God to the rest of us. And so we want to make as much room as we possibly can. We want to have as many seats as we possibly can so that God can bring as many people as he possibly can to be here. Do you remember back in 2010 on the news, we all heard about the 33 Chilean copper miners who got trapped underground and they were in like the mine shaft and everybody was praying for them. What happened in the country of Chile? Rescue efforts happened, right? Like everyone sprung into action. The government, local people, everyone worked together to try to save those people's lives because they realized there are lives at stake and we need to do everything we can to save them. And they did. They did everything they could. Can you imagine if somehow they were able to save, let's say they saved 10, okay? And there's still 23 down there. Can you imagine them going, I think 10's enough. I mean, we did a pretty good job. There's still 23 people down there. And if we don't help them, they're going to die. And their kids will grow up fatherless. But we got 10. Like, we're good. Like, no. Of course they're not going to say that, right? I mean, they did everything they could. And they ended up saving all 33. So why are we starting another service? That's why. That's why. Because the church is a rescue effort. Jesus said that the mission of the church is to seek and save those who are lost, those who are without God, those who are kind of trapped. And what we believe is that everyone in Las Vegas is loved by God and needs to know Jesus. And we believe that if they don't have Jesus, they're trapped, just like we were, no different, by their own decisions, by their sin. And we believe that their lives are at stake. Even more, their eternities are at stake. And so what we want to do is get everyone we can here so that they can find out that God loves them and find Jesus and move into a relationship with God. And so we need to create all the seats we can for them. So here's the answer to the question, why are we adding another service? The answer is because right now we don't feel like we could add two more services, right? That would be the better thing, is if we could add two, but right now we feel like we can add one, and so we're going to add one. What we're going to do is we're going to dig a ditch, right? You know, that day in the story, you realize the amount of water they had the next day was dependent on one thing. How many ditches did they dig, right? How big were those ditches, right? God filled all the ditches that they dug with water. And so we're going to dig another ditch, and we're going to do our part by adding this other service and inviting our friends to it, and then we're going to trust God to do his part of loving those people and leading them to faith in Jesus. In that story in 2 Kings 3, the people did the hard work that they could do, and then God did the thing that they couldn't do. And listen, we recognize adding another service is going to be hard work. In fact, for us to have four services, three on Sundays and we have one on Monday evening, like we need everyone to be a part of this. Like what we're praying for, what we're needing is like 100% participation. And so we're going to do this like together. We're going to have a lot of fun doing it together. It's going to be fun. In fact, we're going to make kind of a fun initiative out of it. And what we're going to call this is the Dig It Initiative, because we're going to be digging ditches. Do you dig it? You dig it? We dig it? Yeah, you dig it. And so here's the thing, though. Like maybe you go, oh, it's cool, we'll have more seats for more people, because you know, we all have a ton of seats. That's true. But you know what? It's going to be a lot of hard work. That's not a but. Actually, the hard work is one of the coolest things about what we have to do. Like the hard work it's going to take is one of the best things about this. And here's why. Because we grow by putting our faith in action. That's how people grow. That's how we grow spiritually. That's how you grow in almost any area of your life. And so the cool thing is, like, adding this service is going to increase our capacity for numerical growth, because we'll have more seats for people who don't come to Verve. But the better part is that it's going to increase our capacity for spiritual growth for the people who are already a part of Verve. Because we grow by putting our faith in action. We grow with movement. We don't grow by staying where we're at. We grow by making sacrifices and preparing for adding this fourth service. And then adding this fourth service is going to give all of us a chance to put our faith in action, maybe in some ways we have never done before. And that is an awesome thing. That's the opportunities that we need. So, like, one thing, for instance, we need is more volunteers. To be able to pull this off, we need volunteers. And what we're hoping and needing is to get new volunteers plugged in, like, now in the next month or so, so that in February, like, we're running like a well-oiled machine. We're not, like, trying to figure out, what do we do? What do we do? And so, actually, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, today, to sign up to jump into a new service. So maybe you've been coming for a while, and you're like, I know I should serve. I just never have gotten to that, never jumped in. We need you. And so view this as the perfect opportunity to jump in. So I don't know if you noticed on your seat today, there was a little first serve card, and you can fill that in a minute. Let me walk you through what we need to make this new service happen, and you're going to go, oh, you really do need everyone. You really do need me. Yes, we do. So here's what we need. We need 26 new volunteers for our children's ministry. So our children's ministry have various roles of people doing different things, most with kids, but some don't even interact with kids. But it's all put together to try to help kids have fun and feel loved and know that God loves them and to find the life that he has for them in a relationship with him. Right? We need 25 new volunteers for the host team, and these are the people in the lobby who are friendly and make people feel welcomed and invited. We need 12 new volunteers for our frontline team. Our frontline team are people who get here early, and they prepare like the communion and the coffee and stuff like that. We need 12 people for that. We need 22 new volunteers for our tech team. Our tech team are the people where when the lights go up and down and the things that happen on the screen and the sound coming from this thing right now. That's the tech team. And maybe you're like, that sounds kind of cool. Like I could run the sound or I could do the computer or something, but I don't know how to do that. We can totally train you. Like just about everybody on that tech team didn't know how to do it, and we train them, and you'll know how to run sound or run the computer. We can train you to do that, okay? We also need 6 new musicians for our band, and if you can't play, we won't train you. Okay, we can train you how to do a computer and sound and lights and all that, but we can't train you how to play. We don't have that capability at the moment. But if you've already got chops, like if you can play guitar or bass or drums, we could use you. I'm trying out for kazoo. We'll see what happens. I'll let you know. I'm excited. And last, we need 6 new volunteers for our facilities team. Our facilities team are people who come in early or on different days, and they get the building looking good and prepared for all the people who come in here on the weekends. They are behind the scenes heroes. Like no one knows them, no one knows what they do, but they are like heroes because of their servants' hearts, and we could use 6 more people who are willing to do that. You can sign up today. So if you use that form and you go, all right, like that, one of those things sounds good to me, here's what you're signing up for. We call it a first serve. So you're not like going, all right, I'm committing my life. Like, what if I hate this? This might be awful. What you're doing is committing to serve one time. And in that time, what you'll do is you'll shadow someone who already does that role. Okay? So you're going to kind of walk around with them, or you'll sit behind them at the soundboard, and you'll kind of get an idea of, here's what it would look like for me to do that. And then at the end, we're going to ask you to evaluate. You might be like, I don't want to ever do that again. Cool, we got you, no problem. And we'll ask you to consider doing a first serve in a different area. Ultimately, our hope is that there's going to be an area, maybe your first one, where you're like, that's it. I liked it. I mean, I can't do it right now, maybe, but if you train me, I could do it. And I think that would be fun. I feel like that's the way I could serve God and help this church. And then you'll sign up and you'll be on a schedule where maybe you do every other week or every other month or something like that. And so, we need you. Like we need you to do this. We really need like 100% participation. And this is a chance for you. It's an awesome opportunity for you to do something where you're giving something of yourself and of your time and of your energy. And you will impact so many people's lives through what you do. And it may be a little bit of hard work, but it will be fun. And when we see what God does, you'll be like, man, the hard work like was nothing in comparison with what God did. There's more. There's a lot more. So, like, there's more reasons why we're doing it. In fact, some of you probably have questions like, well, yeah, okay, you're saying we need another service. What about this? What about this? And there's more reasons of how we're going to do it. Maybe you have some questions about that. There's more ways that you can get involved and participate and make a big difference. And I want to tell you all of it, but I don't have any more time. So here's what we're going to do. On November 8th, which is a Sunday, we're going to have a meeting at night from like 6:30 to 7:45, something like that. And we need you to be there. In fact, I invite you to get out your phone and put it on your calendar right now. If Verve is your church, if you're like, you know, I know I'm not here every single week, but this is my church, we need you to be at that meeting. I recognize probably some of you are here for the first time. You're not sure yet if you want to keep coming. The whole diarrhea thing before really threw you off. You're like, I wasn't expecting diarrhea to like nice music. I'm not sure if I can come back here. We're not for everyone. But if you're somebody who's like, no, I'm not here for the first time. This is my church. I need you at that meeting. And we're going to make it fun. We're going to have dessert. And it'll be fun. We're calling this meeting the Dirt on Dig It. It's where you're going to get all the dirt on Dig It. Are you seeing what we're doing there? This is like creative, clever stuff, right? You're going to get the dirt on Dig It. And you really want to get the dirt on Dig It. So we need you to be there. Here's what I believe. I really believe this. We've been working on this and praying about this for like a little over a year. And what I think is that this is a huge moment for Verve. In a lot of ways, and you'll understand that more, I think, when you come to that meeting. But like this is like a crossroads kind of thing. And it's like, man, what's going to happen? And it is a big moment for us. And we need everyone who considers Verve home to be at that meeting. It'll be awesome. So please be there. All right. Listen, you want to move into the future that God has for you. And I think we all want Verve to move into the future that God has for us. But there's these questions. Can you be faithful when the music stops? And will you do your hard work before God does his easy work? And what ditch do you need to dig? Because God is going to make it rain. But you need to dig some ditches in your life so you're ready to receive his blessing. Right? And together we need to dig this ditch so we're all ready to receive God's blessing as a church. So let's all start digging and let's all be praying and let's all jump in and let God use us in a big way and we will not regret it. Like, it will be so much fun. And let's start praying. In fact, let's start praying right now together. Let's pray. God, what I believe is, looking around this room at every individual, I believe that the best is in front of each person in this room. The best is still ahead. But the truth is that mostly our future depends on us. You know, there are things that happen, but mostly life doesn't happen to us. We make decisions, we make choices. And the amazing thing is we have this God who wants to bless us. And so the question is, will we make the choice to prepare for his blessing? Will we do what he's asking us to do? Will we do what you're asking us to do, God, so that we have this ditch so that when you bless us, we're ready? And I pray today that, I pray everyone in this room makes the choice. I am going to dig a ditch. I'm going to do what God is asking me to do so that he can answer the prayer I've been praying, so that he can do the miracle in my life that I need done. God, I also believe the best is ahead of us for us as a church. But again, mostly the future of our church is our choice. Will we dig the ditch we need to dig to start this new service so that, God, you can fill it with people and so that we can be used for eternal purposes, so that we can feel that our lives have been infused with purpose and meaning? God, will we be a church where everyone says, I want to play my part? I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can serve. I can be a part of this. Okay, I pray that you would inspire all of us, not just now when we're feeling inspired, but when the music stops, to do what it is that you're calling us to do. It's going to be hard work, but it will be more than worth it. Thanks for being an awesome God, and that everything we do is worth it because we're doing it for you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.